Grace and peace, church. Amen. Come on, y'all gonna be better than that. Come on, grace and peace. Grace and peace. Come on, grace and peace. Amen. Oh, to have the grace of God, the peace of God in this present evil age. Amen. A person said, no one can take my praise from what God did for us in eternity and for what he's doing for us right now. Because what? He's God. And like they always said, what the term they use, they got my back, God has your back. Not only does he have your back, he has your front, your side, he has you all because you're all in him. And thank God you're all in him. He is, that's our security in Christ. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your goodness, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here, even those, Father, that's on their way. We thank you for grace, Father. We thank you for the doctrines of grace. We thank you, Father, for everything that you did for us in eternity. And Father, right now, we thank you that we can live without fear. We can live without frustration in spite of these things may come. But we can look beyond our fears, frustrations, and anxiety to know that everything was sent to us for purpose. And that we do not focus on the processes, we focus on the purpose. And to know that everything is according to God. And right now, Father, many of your people going through different trials, tests. Encourage our hearts today, Father. Let the word of God go forth, Father, whether it's in our brothers and sisters in Africa and Asia and the Philippines and all parts of the globe, Father, Pakistan. Oh, God, bring comfort to your people. We thank you for your goodness, grace, and kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank God for the word of God today. And we're moving right into, we're going to basically the methodology of scripture. Amen. Number one, you're going to call the text. Amen. Number two, we're going to exegete the text. Then number three, we're going to explicate what I exegeted. After you do that, we're going to magnify Jesus. You can't do anything else but sit down, right? Amen. Now, we can go right to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. And while you're turning there, we're going to go right into 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. And Deacon Gavin, you can read this in the King James and the Greek. Because we're going to do some exegesis on the Greek. But let me say this before Deacon Gavin begins reading. Church, it's one thing that was magnified even in Sunday school and been on in the pastor's pen. One word, church, is that we are safe. How many know we are safe? We are safe. And in spite of everything that goes down around us, we are safe because we're in Christ. Amen. Now, we're going to talk on this verse. Again, I trust that everyone has this now. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Apostle Paul's instructions to Timothy. Amen. Deacon Gavin, read this in the, again, King James, and then you can read this in the Greek as we bring out some further exegesis, okay?
We're reading from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 20, first from the King James Version. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called. Now, from the interlinear Greek text. Old Timothy, the deposit guard, turning aside from the profane, empty utterances and opposing tenets of the falsely named knowledge.
Okay, now, church, what is Paul talking here? Let's look at some history. And if you look at the books, Paul's writings to Timothy, let's analyze some history in this before we actually, we'll do the exegesis, but we need to understand historically what was going on here at the church at this time. You see, Timothy had a hard time, church. He was a young minister. He had a hard time. I mean, he was coming against false doctrine, false teachers, and in fact, in one account we mentioned last week, Paul's instructions to Timothy was divide the word of God. Rightly divide the word. Let law be law. the kingdom be kingdom, and the grace be grace. Understand now, you notice that Paul did not give those instructions to Titus and others. Notice, see, historically, Timothy was a student under the law. He was trained by his Lord's Eunice, his mother and grandmother, he knew the law. So Paul, through the revelation of the mystery, Paul's instructions to Timothy, in fact, one account, he said, Timothy, the things that you've heard from me, teach these things, preach these things, don't teach anything else. And somebody said, but Paul, that was too narrow. You got to understand, church, that our message is different. And we covered that last week. The gospel of the grace of God, that volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul is different. It's a liberating gospel. These are our directives for the church, for us today, the body of Christ, the Grace Church. Now, looking at this here, let's look at the Greek here. You see where it says, where Deacon Gavin just read, you read this in the Greek, right? Also deep. O Timothy, that entrusted to you God, turn away from the secular vain words and opposition of the falsely named knowledge. Now notice, as beareth me in the exegesis, this verse opens with the Greek interjection, which is an exclamation used in the case of a direct address. And that direct address is what you call the vocative. And this direct address emphasizes the deposit Paul is entrusting Timothy. And the main thrust is the phrase rendered, that entrusted to you, God. In other words, the things that the Lord gave the Apostle Paul, what? The mystery. You're to guard that. Guard that against false teachings, false doctrine. Anything that would come against that, you guard. You protect. And now God, Paul is telling Timothy, the things that you've heard from me, guard it, Timothy. Protect it, Timothy. It is very important to comprehend the noun render. See that word deposit? That's a noun. And it literally means to place beside. Hence, to deposit with, to entrust, or to commit to one's charge. The Greek noun, as used with this article preceding it, is most accurately rendered the deposit, trust, consignment, or commitment. For it is the exclusive message which should be taught in the today. So here's a conclusion, church, in this here. What should be protected and guarded? What should be? Now, to guard something, that should tell you that there's an opposition that's going to come against what you're trying to guard. What's the message? What are we trying to guard today? The message is the gospel of the grace of God, the message that God revealed to the Apostle Paul, and this deposit Paul gave to Timothy for him to what? Deposit and guard. In other words, guard this message. Because there are many times forces out here that would try to dilute the message, try to what? Say something that didn't say. So, in fact, everyone that's a member in the body of Christ, our job today is to guard this message. Protect what God has said. What is it? The revelation, the volume of truth. What is the revelation of the mystery? 3 years, right, didn't Gavin? In Sunday school, that volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church, and it was dispensed to others. But this message should be guarded. I remember I saw a movie some time ago, and what happened, there was this fortress had all types of money, it had all types of very valuable information, and there was a guard that was right there, and you had to have a password. I mean, in fact, they had an encrypted password that was a password to a password to another password. In other words, before you got into that fortress, you had to be the right person. So what happened, when you, for some reason, somebody tried to beat the system, they got by that God, there was another God. Okay, what's the password? In other words, their job was to guard this fortress against ridiculous, against crazy outside things that would come in and try to destroy. What's more valuable than what? The gospel of the grace of God. Our gospel. This message Paul tells Timothy, this rich deposit. What's this rich deposit? This volume of truth. These books. Romans through Hebrews. We're to guard this. Okay? Now, looking at this further, let's look at more into what was Timothy to God. Okay? Now, Deacon Gavin just read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Now, church, we can go back. Deacon, go back. We're going back up to verse 6. Because this is all one narrative, church. We started with verse 20. But all of this is entire chapter 6. It's one thought conveyance. Okay? Deacon Gavin, read verses 6 through 11. Deacon Gavin, I tell you what, you can go ahead and read the King James because we just want to look at the thought conveyance. Okay, the King James will be okay for this, all right?
Now we're reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, King James Version. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therefore be therewith content. Mm-hmm. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Mm-hmm. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness.
Go on, read verse 12, Deacon Gavin, please.
Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
And church, now if you look at what Paul wrote here via the medium of the Holy Spirit and the verse where it says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, you know, some of you are training in Sunday school. Okay, money is the root of all evil. Just taking a verse out and what? Run with it. That's one thing. Paul is not saying money is the root of all evil. So that's the danger of taking a verse and running with it. In fact, I've learned so much, thank God, under the ministry of Pastor Cutler. But thank God, years ago, one thing that I mean, you're talking about bringing clarity to the scriptures. There are it's called the threefold methodology church of biblical exegesis. When you read a verse, and we just read some verses here, right? The threefold methodology. Number one, historical. Historical, what was Paul saying here? The next is what? Contextual. What is in context? And then what about the grammar? You have to look at all three of these, and if they line up, you can go with the script. Go with the light, because you have consistency in the methodology of Scripture. How many know that God, the Holy Spirit, is consistent? The Holy Spirit is not going to say one thing he's not going to say one thing and say something that's in another verse or another book. If it appears to be a conflict, go back. What is the historical conveyance? What is the grammar and what is the context? Now, in here, church, people say they jump in the middle. Money is the root of all evil. They pull the verse out of context, not looking at a few verses above, a few verses below. They just take one verse and run with it. And just many times they build a doctrine out of that. Let me give you another example. Sometimes you have to come down to physicality before people. I mean, even though we are spirits, we still have a physical body, right? Let me give you another example of the danger of just running with something. When we say things, our message, this gospel truth goes, the grace gospel, out of the medium through the website, and Deacon, thank God for Deacon Mitchell and Deacon Henderson. The Lord has used them in terms of the website as well as the audio vision ministry. It goes worldwide. So when we say certain things, you have to make sure that we stay consistent because our audience is not just the United States. Come on, church. So, the health care law, we know the president's health care law was in effect in 2009. And we all know the story. They went to the Supreme Court. They wanted to throw the whole health care law out. Get rid of it. And in essence, the reason they wanted to get rid of it, church, there was one statement, one sentence in the law that appeared to be a contradictory to the other 900 pages. And so they were going to throw it out over what? One statement. So, you know, so wait a minute. Thank God for the justice. So they said, wait a minute. You just cannot take one statement that appears to be in violation, but what's the context of the whole 900 pages? And the context was that basically everyone should have health insurance. All right? Now, looking at this, Paul's writings, is he saying the money is the root of all evil? No. What is Paul saying relative to the mystery? When he talks about money being the root of all evil, you have to look at the theme of all 14 epistles and see what is consistent in what Paul is saying here. Church, all he's saying, what Deacon Gavin just read, I want you to read this one more time. Read verse where it says flee. Verse 11 one more time. No, go 10 and 11. Read it one more time, Deacon Gavin, in fact, you can go and read that in the King James, in the Greek. Verse 10 and 11 in the Greek. One more time, please.
Again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 from the interlineal Greek text.
Yes.
For a root of all evils is the love of money, mm-hmm. of which some, hankering after, wandered away from the faith and themselves pierced round pains by many. Mm-hmm. Verse 11, thou but, O man of God, these things flee, pursue and righteousness, piety, faith, love, endurance, meekness.
Church, what Paul is saying here in terms of the enlightenment of what the Holy Spirit is. Read the Holy Spirit, church. You see, verse 9 and 10, he talks about hurtful lusts and money and physical things. Church, all Paul is saying here is that as a member in the body of Christ, we have to flee from physicality and run to spirituality. Because if you look at verse 11. But thou, O man, flee what? Now, to flee from something, you have to run to something. So he's not saying just putting something out, money. That's what I say, I hate money. Now, wait a minute. You go to work every day. You do all these things. Don't stop saying that. Who are you fooling? Some of you are going to be on the clock tomorrow, 8 o'clock. Hello, church. Come on. Don't be so spiritual. You say, I don't want no money. And you go to work for it. Some of you work overtime. Amen. So, amen. Follow, amen. Somebody say, well, I don't want to work. Well, Paul, he addressed that too. If you don't work, you're not going to eat. So, the work is not the problem, church. He's talking about here priority. All he's saying is prioritize spirituality over physicality. Now, the money, thank God for the money, amen, the offering that came today. Thank God for the offering that comes Wednesday. The offering's going to come, amen. And see, now, when Deacon Mitch write those checks, hey, Deacon Mitch is not going to say, okay, for Edison and see, I don't have anything to do with the bills. But you can't say, look, this is a grace. No, they want money. They want to see for these lights and everything. That's the system we're in, church. But the point is that as a recipient in the body of Christ, as a member, he says, look at verse 12. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternality. That's all he's saying. To run. Now, when he says run, it's a matter of prioritizing what? Spirituality over physicality. Because verse 12, he mentions some of these. Love, patience, meekness, righteousness, godliness, faithfulness. In other words, this is spirituality. Run from, in other words, do not have your hope in physicality. Have your hope in spirituality. And we can add some more. Our hope is in justification. Our hope is in propitiation. Our hope is in adoption. Our hope is in reconciliation. Our hope is in sanctification. Our hope is in election. Our hope is in what God did for us in eternity before the foundation of the world. That is our blessed hope. That is our blessed hope, church. And in that blessed hope, we're safe. In that blessed hope, nothing around can affect that eternal hope, because our hope is not based on the seen. Our hope is driven on the unseen. They're talking about right now they're dealing with this Iran nuclear deal. Amen. Thank God for that. You know, amen. Jesus said what? In corroboration, he said what? Bless all the peacemakers. Amen. Do what you can to what? Peace. Amen. But at the same time, hey, listen. People don't realize how fragile we are. Do you know? I'm talking about the world, church. Do you know we are within some idiot just pushing a button and it's destroying this whole world in terms of the nuclear arsenal we have? They can do that. Not that they can do it. They can only do what God calls us to do. But the point is that we are safe and security is only in Christ. So no matter what goes, all the crazy things we all going through, and some of you are going through, how you know I'm going through? Listen, are you breathing? You're going through something. But we are safe because we're in Christ. What more safety can there be other than being in Christ? But outside of Christ, church, this word is so fragile. I was reading the other day, and it stated that in a matter of years, based upon the rising of the oceans, and that's nothing new. Jesus talks about this: the wind, and the waves roaring. It talks about this in the tribulation period. That in a few years, Florida could be underwater. Just as with climate warming, global warming, and the rising of the oceans, it's just a matter of time that Florida could be underwater. Now, let me say this, church. Let me say this. Somebody say, oh, let's pray for those Floridians. Wait, slow up. Stop picking on the Floridians. Let's talk about the Michiganians. That's the term. Right now, we are surrounded by the Great Lakes. And if God breathed on these lakes high enough, Michigan could be underwater. But guess what, church? Somebody said, oh, that's so fearful. Are you kidding? If God used that process-wise to take us out of here, bring it on, Lord. Bring the flood on. Bring it on. Bring it on still. No more backache, no more heartache, no more trouble, no more. Hey, Lord, if that's the medium, bring it on, Holy Spirit. Bring it on. See, that's the thinking, the cogitation of looking beyond the things that's around us. Because if you are captivated in the matrix, it would drive you crazy. Popping things popping up in the matrix. People have their hope and things around them. Amen. Not looking at the fact that we are what? Secure. And things in the world can change overnight. Yes. Let me give you another example. Because God's people got laid out a few days ago. People in Wall Street. Oh, they're secure. Oh, man, the stock market bubbling, doubling. Oh, they were enjoying the stock market rise for the past few years. But what happened a few years? Couple weeks ago. One day, I think 400-point drop. Somebody said, what's 400 points? I can tell you what's 400 points. People that had billions lost billions in a few seconds. And they were in Wall Street, but nervous. Upset, nervous. Because what? They were captivated by what? Physicality. Amen. So in essence here, what we are saying here, in the essence of the writings here, is that we are to focus on spirituality, because spirituality can never change. Let me ask you a question. We've gone through some crazy things in this country. Let's say since we celebrated our country's birthday, what, just over 200 years, just, you know, what, in July. We've gone through some crazy things, right? But let me ask you this. Let's look at the world. Crazy things have happened. But have these things affected your position in Christ?
No.
The crazy things happen. Are you still justified?
Yes.
Are you still saved?
Yes.
Are you still secure? Our hope is not from without. Our hope is from within. So Paul was telling Timothy to guard this message. Protect this rich deposit. Guard it, because there will be some that's going to try to what? Come here and dilute it. Let's go further. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're talking about Timothy today, because Timothy had a hard time. In one account, Paul tells Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear. See, he was coming against all these things the Lord's instructions to Timothy was to correct. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, Deacon Gavin. We have one verse here. Go into King James and Greek, please.
Now we're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, first from the King James Version. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, interlineal Greek text. For there will be a time when the being healthy teaching,
healthy,
they will not bear with, but according to own lusts to themselves, they will heap up teachers tickling the ear.
In other words, what is Paul saying, church? He's telling Timothy is coming. Get ready. The time will come when they will not endure healthy teaching. Church, isn't that where we are today? Men would not endure what? Sound doctrine. In other words, they'll say, preacher, bishop, tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what makes me feel good. And see, then what's happening, if many times the ministers are under pressure to what appease, to make them feel good, and all of a sudden life throws you a curveball you don't know what to deal with because you were focused in the matrix, not looking at everything that is according to God. So the healthy, what's healthy teaching? Healthy teaching are those 14 epistles for the grace church today. Right. Romans through Hebrews. Let me balance this out now. The whole word of God is true, church. The word of God is true. Genesis through Revelation, the word of God. And it's healthy to the degree that it's what God's word. But it's not written to you. What's your directives? The body of Christ. Those 14 epistles. Those are your directives. Those are your directives. It clears things up. Many times we've talked to many people over the years, God's people, and we'll go into the light of Paul's epistles, and the light comes on. They say, wow, that makes sense. See? What makes sense today in this present evil age is the mystery. It clears things up. So Paul is telling Timothy to right the divide. In other words, stay away from what? False doctrine. Because it will come and dilute the message of faith. The message, the volume of truth. Our gospel, again, what's the mystery? The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the grace church. Now, in one account, the Apostle Paul uses, if go there in Galatians, he uses the term false brethren. Now, somebody say again, that's taking a scripture and running with it. When Paul talks about false brethren, he didn't say that the brethren were not saved. What he was saying was that he called them brethren. Come on, church. They were brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ, but they were not teaching the directives of what's for us today, and that is the mystery, the grace truth, grace, mystery, and truth. The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the grace church. So as Paul instructions to Timothy, in one account, for those that were not here last week, we went over there, Philippians 1:10. It talks about, well, I tell you what, we're not going to say, go there, go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Amen. Now, we exegeted this last week. We spent about 15 minutes on the exegesis, but we're going to look at one word for time's sake. We're going to observe one word today for those that weren't here last week. Again, the theme today, Paul is telling Timothy, the things that you've heard from me, teach. They go right into the Greek. First, yeah, King James did a poor job here on this. Go to Philippians 1, verse 10. Go directly in the Greek text, please.
Now we're reading from Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, interlineal Greek text. For thee to prove you the things differing in order that ye may be sincere and unoffending in day of Christ.
The thing's different, church. That Greek word, different. The writers of the mystery are different. Church, it's a different message. The Apostle Paul was preaching things that was unheard in prior ages. But now, you see, in the grace mystery, in the grace message, it's now. But now are we in Christ Jesus. So Paul was telling Timothy, this message is different. That's right, Timothy. That's why, Timothy, it has to be rightly divided. It's different. It's different to the degree. What's different about the message? You see, in the kingdom gospel, even the law, as things pop up in the matrix, the revelation then is that you're trying to figure out how to work it out. In other words, it's the light, the revelation problem comes in your mind. If I do this, if I do that, God will solve that problem. That's the language of the law and kingdom law. In the grace covenant, God has already worked that problem out. Somebody say, I don't see it. You know God's people. Come on. I don't see it. If I don't see it, come on. Don't tell me you're, come on. Move away from Dalton Thomas. Amen. Unless I see this and it's, I don't understand. That was that kingdom. That kingdom is what? Sight sin. It's driven by what? Sight, church. So what John said, unless I see this, I won't believe it. So, hey, John was operating under the directives of that kingdom covenant, which is what? Sightseeing. But under grace, we walk by faith. Something pops up in the matrix. You say, Lord, this thing almost destroyed me. In fact, let me go one step further. Some of you, come on, tell the truth. When you, 10 years, in your mind, you've been to some things. You say, Lord, I never go through this. I just, some of you may have thought, Lord, just take me to heaven. I never get through this. Where are you today? You're right here, aren't you? I mean, are you not here? You are here because God decreed that you be here. What did God say? Come heaven, hell, high water, low, whatever's out there. God has purpose that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That you are more than a conqueror, not within yourselves, but through him that loved you in eternity. But it's a different message, church. In the kingdom gospel, Paul telling, he said, Timothy, guard these sayings. What are these healthy sayings? That the messages are different. In the kingdom gospel, Timothy, the recipients are Israel. In the grace gospel, the recipients are the body of Christ. Guard it, Timothy. Guard this, Timothy. In the kingdom gospel, the focus is on manifestation. In the grace gospel, the focus is on actualization by God's decree in eternity. Guard this, Timothy. In the kingdom gospel, the focus is on what God was going to do. In the grace gospel, the focus is on what God has already done. He's already saved you. So he's already done it. Why are you trying to get baptized, trying to do all these things in time when God's already done it? If he has already, not if, the fact that he's already saved you in eternity, everything you're going through, he's already what? Worked out. It's already solved. It's already worked out. Amen. It's already done. In the kingdom gospel, the focus is on what God was going to do. And again, in the grace gospel, it's what he's already done. A different gospel, church. A different message. In the kingdom gospel, the focus is on the future. In the grace gospel, the focus is on now. But now are we in Christ Jesus. But you know, a lot of God's people, one day I'm going to die and go to heaven. Then at that day, at that point, I'll be in Christ. Mm-mm. You have always been in Christ.
Always.
Always. Oh, come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. You've always been in Christ. Always, always been in Christ. Even now, again, I'm talking about me. I'm pointing a finger at me, not you all. But in my little town in North Carolina, in the Galilee Baptist Church, the Lord, I was a little kid going to church, and the preacher get up there and say, y'all, come on, you want to go to heaven? You best stop doing that devilment. I don't know what they use the word devil. Stop doing that devilment so the Lord can take you to heaven. And see, for years, there's so much insecurity because we all depraved, but you can do some crazy things. Especially if you're a teenager and a young adult, you can do some immature things. It's just a fact. Like church, come on. And some of you have done more immature things than others. And don't be all spiritual and say, bless God, I've always, oh, listen, pray for that person, Lord, pray. Help them, Jesus, help them. And we're not glorifying the crazy things we've done. But we're just saying that in spite of you going through your, quote, the term, the devilment, guess what? You were still saved. The Apostle Paul was out there persecuting Christians. Out there, Stephen preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching a kingdom gospel. See, understand, church, what was going on at the time. When the kingdom, when they were preaching kingdom, Saul was holding on to the law, the Mosaic law. And anybody that came against what? Quote, the law, you were subject to death. So what happened? He was doing all these things. Sending out petitions to kill the Christians. And guess what? He was already a member in the body of Christ. What great hope! The man was doing all these things, but see, when you put salvation in time, you're going to make decisions in time. People say, well, you know, I'm glad that he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I'm glad that he said, Saul, the Lord said, Saul, you must suffer many things. But somebody said, I'm glad that he got saved. I said, what do you mean he got saved? Yeah, because when he was doing those crazy things, if he had died, he would split hell wide up. Are you kidding? he already belonged to Christ. Someone, and we're not glorifying crime, someone probably killed somebody last night. And that person is belonging to God. Because in this present evil age, when God unloosened that depravity, you could do anything. So don't feel that you are so precious. One thing about grace will humble you to know that if it wasn't but for the grace of God, where would I be? I could do the same thing. Whatever crazy thing you see in a brother or sister, that potential is in you. In science, they use the term potential and kinetic energy. That potential energy is there. The kinetic energy is there, but God is the potential. It's potentially that potential energy could be converted to kinetic energy based on processes. So whatever is in you potentially, to keep that manifestation from being kinetic, God holds it back. So everything that happened, these crazy things that happened, it's nothing but a kinetic move of God that is moving away from potentiality. But the potential, which means that thing that God holds back, it's still in you and me. God just holds it back. God just keeps it from manifesting. So you don't take credit. If somebody talked to you the wrong way and you said, bless God, I forgive you, brother, sister, I forgive you. And then you just can't put your head there. Look at me, I forgave them. Listen, it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's still all according to God. So any good thing that you do, any good thing that you do in time, give God the credit. Hallelujah. In fact, any crazy thing that you do in time, it was there for a purpose to keep you from understanding that how insignificant we are apart from God. So, in the kingdom gospel, Paul tells Timothy, Israel's abode is a physical place. The grace gospel, our abode is in the heavens in Christ. In the kingdom gospel, their abode was limited. It's limited. Our abode is unlimited. Amen. Now, there's one scripture. We can close on this one scripture. Since we're talking Timothy, Deacon Gavin, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 8. Very familiar scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 8. Mm-hmm. You can go read King James. Okay, that's a thought. It's okay. Very familiar passage. Okay,
we're reading now from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, King James Version. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing."
Now, my sermon thought is this, church. We talked about we opened the service today with Paul's instructions to Timothy, was to guard this message, this rich deposit that you've heard from me, Timothy. Preach this and don't preach nothing else. Hello, church. That's what Paul's instructions to Timothy. And I thought about the last meeting they had here. History, according to history, Paul was about to be beheaded. And again, he writes to Timothy and tells Timothy that I fought a good fight, I kept the faith. And I've always wondered about Paul's last meeting with Timothy, knowing that false doctrine would come, knowing that men would come to dilute the gospel of the grace of God. And somewhere in that conversation, and it doesn't record this, but this is consistent thought conveyance in Scripture. Somewhere in this conversation, I'm sure the Apostle Paul told Timothy many times to guard the rich deposit in this, the Word of God. Guard the mystery, this volume of truth, a message that was never heard of before in prior generations. Isaiah never heard of it. Daniel, Ezekiel, Moses, no one ever heard of it, but God raises up Saul and takes him off into the desert of Arabia and gives him this volume of truth, and he commissioned Paul to teach others. And before he left the scene, the Apostle Paul knew that others would come to dilute this rich deposit. And somewhere along the scene, I am convinced that somewhere, because he told Timothy, "I'm ready to be offered," somewhere I'm convinced that Paul grabbed Timothy by the hand and says, "Timothy, the things that you've heard from me, preach and teach and don't preach anything else. Timothy, I'm ready to be offered, but always remember that the only gospel that should be preached, Timothy, in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God."
Praise be God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The gospel of the grace of God. Paul got the message straight from the highest power, the Lord Jesus Christ. The highest power. He got it straight from Christ for the Grace Church. Amen. And saints of God, it has to be guarded. Our truth has to be guarded. Amen. And we guard it through prayer and through exegesis and through, amen, right division of the word. The mystery, the gospel for the church, which is the body of Christ, in this dispensation of God's dealing with his elect. We're not under law. We're not under kingdom. We're not under human government, innocence, conscience. But we are under grace. We're not under promise as unto Abraham. We're under grace. Seven of God's dispensational dealings with his elect, each having its own truth, its own gospel. Amen. We certainly praise God for this truth today, for his truth unto us. Let us pray, God, that we cherish it, walk in the light of it, and we cannot trust in ourselves, but trust in our God, our Father, even Christ. In this world that we live in today, God is our hope. Christ is our hope. He's our only hope. Amen. And you know what? That is more than enough. More than enough. Whatever happened, I love to convey this when I'm out. I listen. We are a blessing to each other. I love to convey this when I'm out. Irregardless, this body is gone anyway. Irregardless of what happens in this world, terrorism, nuclear disasters, a deranged individual, irregardless to what happens, our body is here a temporary anyhow. We are safe, absolutely safe where we actually, truly, eternally abide, and that is in Christ. Praise be God. Amen. That's a wonderful message to us today. So if you're here today, and Ella said it, like I tried to say most of the time, you don't get saved. We were saved. We were chosen, picked out in eternity, and placed lovingly, eternally in the body of Christ.